cars and bubbles, gaffer tape and windows, steel and cotton, cakes and fridges, phones and fax machines. Well, not so much fax machines anymore. Clocks, boats, belts, buildings, air conditioners, solar electricity, Velcro velvet Volvos. Get that out. Self-driving cars. Almost. Supercomputers. Kettles. Toasters. Washing machines. How awesome and amazing are the devices and designs that we have in our houses, in our societies. All these things, and many others that I haven't mentioned, created and designed, put together by us, by humans. Isn't it amazing? And as we put together, as we make these things, we reflect God, who also put together things from nothing, who saw into material stuff and made more. As we make, as we create, as we invent, we show glimpses of what it means to be made in the image of God. But how do these things that I speak about come about? Take, for instance, a car. Did it just appear? Well, you know it didn't. A car has been designed. But how? Did someone just go, oh, I'm going to make a car today? Doesn't come out of nowhere. Right throughout human history, all the knowledge has been brought forward to this point where someone thought, ah, actually, if I take a wheel, and if I take that metalworking knowledge we have and the bit of woodworking knowledge we have, if we take the idea of engines that has started to develop as springs and cogs and buttons and levers, and we look into it further, we can see how a car could take effect. The human intellect and creativity being stretched, and there is a car. Quite amazing, really, where we've come from. Today, as part of our Letters to the Exiles series, we're going to be talking about knowledge, about how it was used in the past, and now how are we going to use it until Jesus returns? What is the purpose of knowledge? So far in our sermon series, we've seen that we are designed to give. Me and you, designed to give. We've also worked out that families are the beginning of the flourishing of a healthy society. Families are the place where we give out to others. We've also learnt that it's the compost of society, right? That image will stay with us. Also, we've learnt that work is a big part of our life, of who it means to be God's people. We give when we go to work. And we also receive from other people. Work is a gift that we give to God. And there's also another gift that every single one of us has, whether we're in church or out of church. We each have a gift that God gives, that we're made in His image. And it can't be taken away. Even though it can be marred, it can never be taken away. And as we see this gift in everybody else, we start to see that justice can be done. And justice can then be taken to the big organisations and structures in our world because everyone's made in the image of God. And so that brings us today to knowledge. How does knowledge work for Christians while we're waiting for Jesus to return? Have you heard it that knowledge is power? I know you have. And it's true. Knowledge is power. But knowledge is much more than power. It's also a gift. Knowledge is a gift that we have received from those who have gone before us. And it's a gift that we're going to send on those who come after us. Knowledge is a gift. And we can harness its power and give to others. Now, it's great that we know stuff. Like, for instance, take this candle. Candles are pretty awesome now, but they've tended to... they're more decorative than anything else, right? But years ago, people needed to see, and they wanted to see safely. So they... sure, I've got some matches in here somewhere. Fair magician's trick. I was tricking myself there. Years ago, somehow, they came up with, by putting a bit of cotton or something like that in the bit of wax, we could make light safely burn for hours and hours. How amazing is that? And then from fire, we come to learn all sorts of things, that we can get heat, we can get light, we can cook, we can do all sorts of things through fire. And this is all the sorts of knowledge that we get from fire. We also have the knowledge that the hot air around the fire expands, right? Do you know that? Hot air expands? Well, I took this knowledge when I was younger, that hot air expands. And we had a bonfire. And I thought, I've heard that we... don't do this at home, please. We put three of these and two little aerosol inhalers into the fire. Ran behind a log, and I think some of you heard this story before. I hid there, and we heard the little pop, pop, and then we heard the bang, bang, and there was one bang that wasn't coming. And so, knowing that there should be three bangs, and thinking there's not, oh well, it must have just fizzed, I popped my head up, and then bang! And the bottom part of the can turned into what looked like a saw blade, and it, I felt the air and heard it right by my face. And it was another 20 metres behind me when we found it and looked at it. So I had knowledge about expanding air, and I had knowledge about fire, but there was something that I lacked. A helmet. No, common sense, wisdom. I lacked wisdom. I had knowledge, but no wisdom. Today's talk is more than just knowledge. It's also about wisdom. And wisdom is the quality of having knowledge and discernment and understanding. Because we can know a lot of stuff, but that doesn't make us wise. Wisdom enables us not just to know, but to understand. It helps us to see past life situations and come out the other side. It helps us to see past wheels and engines and woods and buttons, and helps us to develop cars. Wisdom is the difference, not just knowledge. Now, I'm quite aware that, and I felt this in preparing this sermon, it's like as soon as I open my mouth, I feel that I'm not up to the task to describe or to talk about wisdom, because I know that plenty of times I'm simply not wise, and I wonder if you feel that too. But there are wise people. There are wise people, and we all have moments where wisdom is with us. So we all know the reality of this. And Solomon knew this too. Solomon, who is said to be the wisest person who ever lived, he knew that he needed something beyond his own human intellect to be able to speak wisely. And so he prayed to God, and he asked God for wisdom. And God gave it to him. And it says in the scriptures that he was wiser than anyone else, including Ethan, the Ezrahite, wiser than Heman, Calcol and Dada, the sons of Mahol. They must have been smart cookies. And his fame, Solomon, spread to all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs and his songs unnumbered 1,005. He spoke about plant life from the cedar of Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of walls. He spoke about animals and birds, reptiles and fish. From all nations, people came to listen to Solomon's wisdom. sent by all the kings of the world who had heard of his wisdom. Solomon knew he needed it, and he knew that he didn't have it on his own accord. And this is what one of the things we read in our scriptures today. One of the things that the Proverbs tell us is to get wisdom, like Solomon asked, to get it, to get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. That was a father speaking to the children. Don't forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Treasure her and she will exalt you. Embrace her and she will honour you. Wisdom is an amazing thing. And I encourage you, friends, get it. Get wisdom. It's something we can ask God for. And so if you're thinking, oh, I don't have it, well, I know someone who's got it and he wants to give it. He wants to give it. Wisdom helps us to create. It also helps us in life situations. Just pretend, and this is a hypothetical, I had shares in the stock market and I'm like, what do I do? Do I sell them or do I keep them? This is a big question that people often ask. So what I'm going to do, I don't know the answer, I'm going to ask some friends. So I'm going to come over and say, well, Terry, should I sell my shares or should I hold on to them so they can, the interest can compound and it can get bigger and bigger? And Terry says, well, Trev, you know, a bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. Did everyone else know that? A bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. I actually wrote down nine in the bush, but I think I don't know the proverb very well. But you're correct, Terry. Everyone at the other services said it was two. So anyway, I'm still not sure whether I should take the bird in the hand. So I come and ask my friend over here, Robin, and I say, should I sell my shares? And Robin says, good things come to those who wait. Ooh. Well, that doesn't help me at all. Both of them are wise sayings, right? And both of them are right in certain contexts. But I still need, at this point, I need wisdom to decide which is the right thing to do for me. Now, this is the case in all little things of life, actually. There are fors and against, and we need to be balanced and thought out and understanding. And that's what wisdom can give us. Wisdom can help us develop, it can help us think, and it also can help us to set our life on the right path to start with. Where do we start with wisdom? In that proverb that we had before, it said that, it was one back, get wisdom, right? That's the first thing you do. The beginning of wisdom is to get wisdom. Well, there's actually some more Bible verses that talk about what we should do in order to start with wisdom. Now, before I go on, I want to acknowledge that there is plenty, heaps and heaps of wisdom that is not Christian per se. There are people from all sorts of religions who come out with wise things and good things. There are people who don't even believe in God at all who can say wise things, who can be entirely smart and can have really great things to say. So we don't have a monopoly on wisdom, so to speak. We can learn things from other people. We also need to just acknowledge, and then I'm going to move on, that sometimes knowledge is used for destruction and evil. So someone could be entirely smart and use what they might think is wise in their own eyes, and it can just destroy lives and families and societies. So not all knowledge is good. But where do we start as Christians? Where do we start with wisdom? And the answer is, as the scriptures tell us, the fear of God. You might think that's a weird thing to say. Aren't we meant to love God and come to Him If we're afraid of him, can we do that? Well, in Job, he said, well, God says there, and he said to the human race, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to shun evil is understanding. Again, at the start of Proverbs, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So before I go on talking about wisdom, I just want to clear this thing up about the fear of the Lord. Has anyone noticed that I've been shaking in my pants the whole time I've been speaking? No, no one has, have they? But you've noticed that there's fire behind me, right? Yeah? I'm not afraid of this fire. I'm not. Though it can burn me. Though it could burn all of Bendigo if we took it. I'm not afraid of it. But I have a fear of it. I know what it can do. I know its characteristics, and so I have a due respect of fire. I'm not going to put it in a place that it can go out of control. And so it is with the fear of God. It's not to be terrified so that we're always looking over our back, is God coming to get us? But it's rather to have this idea of the right understanding of him, knowing that he is the creator, the redeemer, the one who holds all things together. And so we have a due reverence and respect for him. That's what the fear of God is about. Does that make sense? It changes the dynamic of the fear of the Lord, doesn't it? Now, there is a sense that we need to be afraid of God because he is very powerful, but he's also very loving. Very similar to what was said of Aslan, the lion, at the end of the first of the Lion and Witch in the Wardrobe. So where do we start? The fear of the Lord. What will that do if we have that as our starting point? Well, first of all, it'll tell us that this world has meaning. It'll tell us that we are valuable, that this world is good. It'll tell us that we're made in God's image. It'll tell us that we'll be foolish to ignore any directions that he gives. It will also tell us that this life is not the end and that there is a judgment to follow. Remember Jesus said those words, what does it profit a person if they gain the whole world but lose their soul? You heard that before? So if you're the wisest, smartest person in the universe and you hated God and wanting nothing to do with him, your wisdom would end when you died. And the fear of the Lord, though, would enable you to live with him in his kingdom forever. Big difference, isn't it? So you could be the smartest person, but if you deny God, you're actually cutting off yourself from the source of life. This is one of the reasons why the fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom. The other thing I want to say about wisdom and the fear of God, having God as the starting point, is it actually unlocks to us a world of discovery. So as we walk out this door, knowing that God has made all things, we see a tree and that can springboard us to see him. We see a cloud in the sky and it too can springboard us to see our God. So wisdom flows out of the fear of God and it also opens up a world of opportunity to know who God is. So friends, I encourage you to cherish wisdom. And she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honour you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. Wisdom will be your friend. Wisdom will help you in this life. In the book of James, again, it tells us, similar to the Proverbs, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Ask him. And what sort of wisdom can we expect that God would encourage us in with? Again from James. The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Did you notice there in that passage that it talked about good fruit? That wisdom has fruit? Now we all know tree's fruit for us is designed to be a gift that we can take from it. And that's what wisdom can be for us too. That as we have wisdom in our life, other people can come and take of that gift and it can help them in their life. That's the thing about wisdom. It's not just for ourselves. It's for others. It's designed for the good of the world. Many years ago, my grandma gave me a gift. She taught me about sardines on toast. Love them. A bit of pepper, butter and salt. I wonder what knowledge, that's just a trivial one, but I wonder what gift you've got in your mind, what gift you've got in your hands that you can share for the good of the world. The sardines on toast give me joy whenever I have them, and it reminds me of her. I wonder what you can pass on to someone else that brings them joy and helps them to remind them of you as a gift. I wonder. In finishing, friends, I just want to say a couple of things about wisdom again. Because I know full well that if there was someone who didn't believe in God was here today, there's lots of stuff that they just wouldn't agree with. And in fact, if we were to take it further, there are some people in this world who think we are so foolish to believe in God at all. Now, this is nothing new within the Christian faith. Right from the start, people were saying, you can't possibly believe that. That is foolish. God coming down in human flesh? Huh. God dying on a cross and rising again? Well, some people just have disgusted that idea. And the Apostle Paul knew of this. And so we shouldn't be surprised that there are some people who want to push against the wisdom of God because it was there from the start. The Apostle Paul writes when he writes to the Corinthians, where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through its own wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jew and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. God took his true wisdom and used it to restore the world. He took his true wisdom and went to a cross so that he can restore many children to glory. He used his wisdom as a gift for the whole world. And I pray that as we ask him for wisdom, that we too, like him, will take this wisdom, even if it's wisdom like, in order to save your life, you've got to lose it. Taking his wisdom and living for the life of this world. as a gift. Let's pray.